Before we begin, let me rush to announce that I am not an expert on relationships. In fact, I should probably not be the one answering any questions about relationships, which probably makes me most qualified to answer any questions about relationships, because do you trust the person that has had more failed relationships or the person who's had one relationship that is successful? I don't know. But I tell you what I do know. I know what the Bible says. I know what God's will is for relationships. And I got an opinion. So that's why this is Season with Salt, episode 189. And this is all about relationships. Thanks for listening. What's up? This is Dominique Bomonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. I used to have this. First of all, what's up? How y'all doing? This is Dominique Bomonte, and you're listening to Season with Salt, the podcast, and I am your host, and I'm proud to say that we've been getting down together since 2018, and this is episode, y'all, 189. We're approaching episode 200, so if you've been rocking with me from day one, thank you. If this is your day one, thank you. Please go ahead and hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. If you're on Apple podcast platform, would you just rate the podcast and write a review? It can be Dominique is cool. Love the podcast. That matters. So I appreciate y'all. Listen, so I had this blog or YouTube channel, and some of them are still there and embarrassing, called Ask Domo, where I would answer questions that people had or whatever. And so I was looking back at that and thought to myself, you know what, you got a lot more experience than you used to have. So I was in this really interesting conversation with a couple of friends, and some of the questions that were coming up, it was like, oh my goodness, like these are conversations that, we need to have more of, right? And some of the things that came up, like, were germane to our own experiences, and also, like, just the experiences that we see our peers going through in our age group. So it's just a group of folks just chatting. We're all single in various stages of life and relationships and so on. And I was just thinking about, yes, we're all single. Somebody just gave me a look like, do you tell people that? I do. It's a wild season, because first of all, being single in like 2023 is so different than being single in 1999. I mean, not to say that it was safer then than it is now, but like, people's definitions for relationships has changed drastically. People's exposure to STDs has changed drastically. People's definition of gender has changed drastically. So pretty much nothing is the same, which is scary, right? Because you really have to ask a lot of questions. You have to ask a lot of questions these days, and you have to know what you know, and you got to be firm in what you know, or you got to be willing to take a risk, if you will, right? Within the confines of safety. And so, you know, when I was like younger, because I'm still young, praise God, when I was younger, dating was as simple as you met somebody on Black Planet, or you know you're in the same group, friend group, or you went to the club, or and the entry to relationships vary, right? Like you had sex with somebody from a one-night stand, and then y'all just kept rocking with each other. Or you messed around with them for a long period of time and then decided to be exclusive. Whatever it is, like, it ain't as simple as that these days. Relationships are extremely complicated. So anyway, let me just tell you another thing that I know for sure. One of the things that hasn't changed about relationships is God's intention. God's intention for relationships has not changed. He still intends for a man and a woman to be in a covenant relationship and for men and women to guard their bodies, to guard their hearts, to guard their minds as they pursue marriage. And that's his intention, right? And I think that's important to note because this is a Christian podcast, and although we might talk about a variety of different subjects, it's important to know that the foundation of what we believe relationships to be is founded in the Word of God, period. Okay, let's get to these questions. I got four questions, and they're not even really just hard questions. They're just questions that folks have asked or asked me to discuss. And I'm not touting to be an expert because some of these areas I'm definitely struggling in, but we'll get to that too. I also want to thank you for allowing me to be fully transparent. And I want to thank the people who listen to my podcast in completion because I run into a lot of people, and I think this is the danger of having like catchphrases and titles to your podcast that are supposed to lead people to listen. Well, the reality is people don't listen because people will be like, oh, I see what you said on Facebook. And it's like, no, that was the subject of my podcast. Like, so you got to be careful with that. Okay, question number one. Do I need to pursue closure with someone who I never officially dated? Do I need to pursue closure with someone that I never officially dated? So that's a loaded question, right? I think if you feel like there's a need to have closure, then there's probably more there. And I think this goes back to like these very definitions of relationship, right? Where like people are doing relationship or marriage things outside of the context of a marriage. And so, or even let's not even use the word marriage. People are doing marriage things outside of the context of any type of covenant or agreement, or like people are just out there like doing stuff before it's time to do stuff, right? And I think you know the extent to which you have exposed yourself to somebody that you are not in a covenant relationship with. From my perspective, this is just my perspective, closure is two-legged, right? It's there are two sides of closure. I think the first side of closure is you coming to terms with what you learned from the experience, what you got out of it, what you learned about yourself, what you can do differently, those kinds of things. I think that's important because you don't need somebody else to help you with that, right? You need to come to terms with, you know, how much you've exposed yourself, how you could have guarded your heart differently, what you gave in that situation or relationship that maybe was premature, etc. I think the other piece is when it comes to that other person, like, do you have peace? But also, I'm worrying with that, right? Because you need to make sure that your peace is not connected to somebody that you're not with, right? Because if your peace is connected to somebody that you're not in a relationship with, they control you, right? And so, like, sometimes we expect to go back and have this conversation with somebody who hurt us. And in an ideal situation, we feel like that conversation will lead to us feeling unhurt. And it just doesn't work that way, right? Like some people don't have the capacity to undo decisions and actions that they have made or taken, right? And so and that's why we broke up with them, right? Like that's why we had detached ourselves from them. So making them responsible for our peace and our joy not a good idea. So sometimes I think we need closure and we don't, right? The closure is internal, right? The closure is between us and God. The closure is between self and self, right? Like, why do I feel like I need closure from this person? How can I move on? Now, there are some instances where closure is masked as other things. If I got some clothes at your house, I need them back. Or I need to decide how important that thing is in order for me to move forward. Sometimes what we're looking for in closure is equity. Like, I gave this person something for their birthday, and then we broke up, and so then now I want something from them for my birthday. Well, that's not closure. That's, to an extent, it's almost like being selfish, right? Because if you broke up with somebody, right, and there was not the opportunity for them to reciprocate your kindness, and you just want to be reconnected with them for the purpose of that reciprocity, not a good thing, right? Just let it go, right? That's not closure. That's just trying to get even. You don't need that, right? In fact, that might open up old wounds, right? Like, you trying to reconnect with somebody that you know doesn't have the capacity to be who you need them to be, and you're only doing it for the sake of a moment, a feeling, like, not a good idea. So what things need to be closed up, right? If you have given somebody the feeling that there is a possibility in a space where there is no possibility, close that up. I'm sorry. I said to you in a conversation that maybe down the road I might be ready. I'm not going to be ready because I'm moving forward. I'm moving on. I'm moving backwards. I'm moving, right? I think that's an opportunity, because sometimes people have this like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel, or like this might be too much information, but there is a person who like was familiar with a relationship that I was in and learned that I was no longer in that relationship. And she needed to know that that was not an opportunity to rekindle anything with her. Because if I wanted her, then I kind of got that cracking before I got something else cracking, right? But like, I have to actually ask myself, like, what are the loose ends, right? Like, and there might be people who you have not been clear, because sometimes we don't want to hurt people's feelings, so we don't tell the whole shebang, right? Like, we don't say everything that we're feeling because we're concerned about somebody's feeling. You might need to say more explicitly and directly, I am not interested in pursuing a relationship with you. And get away from, like, at this time. Get away from as far as I know. Get away from maybe down the road. If down the road comes, down the road comes. You ain't got to put that in your exit speech, right? Like, we need to have clean, hard endings, right, that leave no ambiguity. So I think that you should know whether closure is needed. It starts with you. It starts internally. And then if there's any ambiguity or anything that would cause somebody to believe that there's a potential for something that there's not a potential for, if you hurt somebody, closure could be as simple as saying, I am sorry. You don't need to meet up at their house to say that, right? Like, you don't need to have a party. You don't need to be trying to tell somebody, trying to create closure on somebody's birthday or on your wedding anniversary or on their anniversary of some. You don't need to try to create closure there, because it's not going to end the way that you want it to end. It's going to be opening a new wound. And the purpose of closure should not be opening. Okay. So that's number one. That's number one. All right. How do I know if someone is my soulmate? How do I know if someone is my soulmate? I would like to invite us into, well, I would like to say, this is an easier sort of answer than probably people are expecting. What is your soul? it's your, Webster says it's your immaterial essence. It's like your spiritual embodiment. It is the center of your being that you commit to a spiritual system. So if the point of our soul as Christians is to give our souls back to Christ, then a soulmate must be in alignment with God's intention for our life. So that's not emotional. That's not sexual. I know this is weird. I know. How can somebody be your soulmate if your soul belongs to Christ, but that the person that you are projecting to be your soulmate does not believe in Christ and or God's plan for your life? Now, somebody might say, well, people are already married. And they say, oh, that's my soulmate. Okay. Because, okay. Oh, I mean, like, I'm just saying that if you're trying to determine whether somebody is your soulmate and you're not in a covenant relationship with them, then you need to think about what your soul is and who your soul belongs to. Because I don't believe that God designs intimate relationships with the intention of them being bigger than our supposed relationship with him. I think he expects us to prioritize our relationship with him and then every other relationship. I don't know what no soulmate is. Shoot, I don't know. I just would not disconnect a soulmate from my ultimate purpose. And I don't think it's selfish either. Like, I don't think, like, the person has to, like everything that you like in order for them to be your soulmate. But I just don't think that you know somebody's your soulmate because you had good sex with them. Or you know that somebody is your soulmate because of the chemistry that you have, even outside of the context of sexual activity. Right? Like, I feel like to be connected with somebody on a spiritual level really has to center around a shared pursuit of God. Now, let me hurry up to say that there's some people that are pursuing God. I'm pursuing God and you're pursuing God. That doesn't make us soulmates, right? I believe that God knits people together. And I believe that the terminology soulmate is the result of people who, through experience, through spiritual evolution, have learned that. I don't know if you just rock up on somebody and say, Johnny or Susie are my soulmate. I think you have to be extremely prayerful about attaching any kind of soul tie to anybody or anything. Because you don't want for the relationships that you are in pursuit of to be anti your pursuit of Jesus Christ if you know him. I'm gonna leave that alone because that's all I can say. Question number three. Is God doing the whole Hosea thing where we are attached to people intimately for reasons other than being madly in love with them? Is there a possibility that I might have a Boaz? Okay. Y'all. I'm gonna hit the Boaz thing first. Really gotta, if you're gonna be even throwing out the name or the term Boaz, you really gotta study the Bible. That's not what people think it is, right? You got to understand what a kinsman redeemer is. You got to understand that there was a huge age difference between Boaz and Ruth. You got to understand the importance of legacy and generational connectivity. You've got to understand the lineage of Jesus. People have misused the term Boaz. They do not have a clear understanding of what that story is about. So that's a pet peeve of mine. If you're looking for whatever the opposite of a cougar is, a lion, I don't know. Like, maybe that's more, or maybe I'm the problem because I'm very technical. If something believes one thing, it's hard for me to get to a space in my mind to make it mean something else if I know that's not what it is. So, but this question about God, like a common day Hosea, like Hosea is a prophet who God positions to marry a prostitute in order to make a point. I do believe that God reveals things to us in the process of dating that are not for the purpose or marriage, but I don't have experience with that. So I'm talking about dating. I do believe that God reveals to us things that he wants us to know, especially if we're operating in spiritual gifting through intimate relationships. I do believe that. Now, I don't know if God is intentionally using covenant relationships to birth prophetic word in this season. I do not know. If he is, I do not. Lord, skip me on the whole getting married for the wrong reason to prove something to a generation. Now, I want to be used by God, so let me not say skip me, but I would prefer to just be married to somebody who loves me, okay? That's what I'm saying. And I don't even know. I can't even say that Hosea was married to somebody that didn't love him. I don't know. But I do. All of us have examples of times that we're in relationships, as Christians particularly, where we're in relationships that we learn more about ourselves and we learn more about God, even in our failed attempt to find intimacy and romance and covenant. And so I do think that that's possible. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm confused as well. Okay? Number four, our final question. When do you share your financial information with somebody that you're dating? Father. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's general financial information that I think it's okay to share with people. I'm inclined to share with someone that I'm dating how I spend money, right? You're going to find out anyway, right? I like shoes. There's some things that other people value that I don't value, right? I respect people who do certain things, but I also feel like I'm led by God to do certain things and I'm not led by God to do other things. Like, I don't know, right? I feel like you have to be careful oversharing information about your financial background, especially if it's linked to other people, because some people, before they build an affinity for you, they will build an affinity for what they believe that you have, and you have to be careful with that. I think that if you got a certain amount of money, you do need to know whether a person would be willing to sign a prenup, right? You can tell what people's expectations are around money and how they spend money by just talking to them. And I think that there are bigger things than what is your credit score, because your credit score changes, right? I think that there are bigger things outside of how much money do you make annually. If you're a state worker, for most states, in most states, you can look that up on the internet, right? Like, is a better question, a better than how much money do you make, what your credit score is, I think you should be asking questions like, what is your philosophy on spending? What is your philosophy on saving? Because the reality is, a lot of relationships fail, whether they be marriages or just dating relationships, because people have different philosophies on money. And I do think that there are questions to ask that, number one, you can tell. If somebody's frugal, you can see a lot. But sometimes people are frugal because they just don't have any money. So there's that. But then some people are frugal because of their philosophy on money and spending. questions like, do you believe in tithing? What's your philosophy on giving? Whether that be gift giving or giving to the poor or whatever it might be, what's your philosophy? What do you, if you could spend money on things that are of value to you, what are those things? And then I think it's better to just watch people and really get an understanding, not necessarily by just what they say, but by how they live and what they do, what choices they make financially. Because people will tell you one thing and do another, right? And then a lot of us have different financial seasons. Like, you know, I had a season where I was really committed to buying a house, and so I saved money differently. The season that I'm currently in is less about that and more about, you know, I want to be intentional about the way I look, right? Now, some people might not honor that prioritization, right? And it, or there are lots of different ways that people save money and prepare for the next seasons of their life money-wise. Some people don't own because of their philosophy on owning versus renting. And it might not be that they're a bad steward of money. It might just be that they have a different philosophy on renting, right? Some people's jobs or persona are attached to material things, and so they know about tax breaks for those things in a different way than some other people. So I'd be careful about making any assumptions without really doing research and understanding somebody's philosophy on money, and I'd ask those philosophical questions early on. But I wouldn't marry somebody without knowing that there is some congruence in the way that we think about money, even if it's you're bad at it and I'm good at it, let's help each other, right? We can work that out in counseling. There just has to be a commitment to really support each other in that area, because I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker. But if you're dating somebody that doesn't go to church and you go to church, or you're somebody that identifies differently, spiritually different, or they don't assign themselves to denominations or spiritual attachments and you got to pay tithes and that person has a different philosophy, that could potentially be a deal breaker. Because what happens when you have a financial challenge in your household or in your marriage and you prioritize giving to a system and they do not? How's somebody's faith attached to their money? You want to know that too. Because you want to know if somebody is going to go to the casino in faith as opposed to go to the bank and invest some money in faith or save some money in faith. That matters. Okay, y'all. Thank you for listening. You are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. We are available on a variety of different platforms. If you will, please hit the subscription button. Please share this podcast episode with somebody that you think it might minister to. The word of the Lord tells us that our word should be seasoned with salt so that we know how to answer every man. And that is the point of this podcast, to let people know that Christians can talk about anything. God bless you. Season with salt.